You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hey, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am joined by Dr. Kulkarni today, who is the founder of a company called Itamins, and I'm very excited to learn more about the company and more about yourself. And it's a company that's newer to AngelMD, and Dr. Kulkarni is based in New York City. And let's just start with a little bit about your background.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Tobin. Excited to be here. I'm a physician. I went into ophthalmology after medical school, so trained in eye surgery and eye care. Did a fellowship after that in neuro-ophthalmology, which is basically eye-brain connection. And I was out in California working. A lot of my friends were doing startups out there. I was getting hit up to be an angel investor in a lot of startups, and I did some of that. But then I kind of saw this space in the eye care space where there was a big need, and I'm sure we'll jump more into that as time goes on.
Yeah, cool. And you were mentioning to me before you grew up in the New York, New Jersey area. So that's been home pretty much your whole life other than a few stints in and out.
Yeah, New York is in my blood. Some people hate it here, but I love it. I did Miami, DC, San Diego, LA. And then once I came back here, I was like, I'm so glad to be back. I love it here.
Before we get into the company, tell me a little bit more about your practice. Are you still practicing in addition to building this business? If so, where do you practice? What part of town? What's that look like?
Yeah, I'm still practicing about half time. So I teach a couple of half days at New York Eye and Ear, which is the biggest residency program for ophthalmology in New York City. And then I'm in private practice as a consultant at a large group practice. They're based mostly in New Jersey with an office in New York as well. So half-time clinical, the other time is working on the business.
Nice. And just going back a little bit, how did you decide to go the ophthalmology route, neuro-ophthalmology? What was it that interested you there?
It's like everyone else in med school, you rotate through everything and every specialty has their own personality. So like the surgeons have definitely their own personality, you know, internal med, peds. And it's just kind of like where you fit in the best. When I did my ophtho rotation, I felt like the docs were smart. They were friendly. They were helping people. People really appreciated this niche because, you know, other doctors don't understand what's going on with their eye. But most importantly, they were happy, and I couldn't say that about all the other specialties, unfortunately. I also never liked the hospital. You know, you go in there, people are just like asleep in the middle of the day, like it smells bad, the TV's on and they're like passed out, and I'm like, this is so depressing. So I was more of like an outpatient, clean surgery type of guy.
Yeah, I get it. One of our advisors is a recently retired ophthalmologist out of the Bay Area, Dr. Barry Breaux, and he's a character, and we talk about that. He says, you know, I tried not to put it in people's faces, but, you know, I had a great lifestyle compared to a lot of my friends who were just grinding. So I totally get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about, let's kind of segue into the company a little bit. What was the, you know, origination of the business? How did you get this idea? And then we'll kind of get more specifics as to where it's at and so forth.
Yeah, it was kind of a confluence of factors. So number one, in my own practice, I was seeing more and more patients with dry eye. It was just uncontrollable. And in fact, one out of every three visits to an eye care provider is for dry eye in this country. And first I thought it was just because I was in San Diego, you know, hot, dry environment, but I talked to my colleagues and it was just everywhere. And there were not great solutions on the market, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The other trends I saw were just the personalization of medicine and consumerization of medicine. A lot of these brands that are going direct to consumer, whether it be for hair care, skin care, you know, every other part of the body. You see a billion skincare products out there and they're all like vegan and blah, blah, blah. And if I see one more, I'm going to probably bang my head against the wall. but nobody was talking about eye care. No one was owning this space. No one was talking to the consumer about it. And obviously this is an area where I'm passionate about. So I just saw an opportunity to grow something in this space.
That's great. And historically, when you would see those patients, what was the typical protocol for treating dry eye?
So normally you have dry eye, you know, your eyes feel dry, sandy, gritty, blurry vision. There can be all types of symptoms. Every eye doctor, first they're going to tell you is to put teardrops on it. Basically just like put some water on it. And sounds okay, I guess, but like it's really a horrible solution. Patients hate it when you tell them that because I think they inherently realize like there's a deeper problem going on, and that's like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. Other treatments are prescription eye drops, and those are expensive. They burn, they sting, they're not covered by insurance. And then you're looking at some other heavy duty treatments like autologous tears and amniotic membranes. So there wasn't a great middle ground for people.
What's typically going on underneath the hood? I mean, as you diagnose, and maybe there's lots of different things that might be a question that doesn't really have a great answer, but are there certain things that surface to the top more often than others as the cause of that?
Yeah, it's definitely an underlying inflammatory problem. Okay. So I believe that dry eye is a systemic inflammatory disease. And if you only treat the tear film, you're not getting to the root of the problem. A lot of the prescription drops are anti-inflammatory drops. Some of them are like immunomodulatory drops like cyclosporin. So it just shows the inflammatory nature of the condition.
You know, just as a little bit of an aside, so I've been learning a lot about the eye and ophthalmology just over the last year, because we've had a lot of interesting companies coming through AngelMD. And one of the things that I've observed is how important the eye is to really understanding. I mean, it's a great place to diagnose a lot of other underlying things in the body. And, you know, sort of think of it as, obviously it's important for seeing, but there's a lot more going on there than just seeing. It's is that something you've seen a lot of?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in my field as a neuro-ophthalmologist, I can't tell you how many people I see that have either had a stroke or are having an impending stroke when I see them in the eye clinic. So we have protocols for working that up and sending them to the ER. You see a lot of diabetic changes, hypertensive changes, and systemic vascular issues through the eye.
So you saw this underlying need, you know, huge need, not great solutions out there. How did you make the shift then to think of the solution that's now being built under Eidemans?
It was really just a lot of thinking about it, a lot of journaling, a lot of research. I think the key shift for me was when I started to go through PubMed and look at the literature on nutrients for the eye. It really popped out to me that there are a couple of ingredients that are well-researched and well-known in the ophthalmic literature, but nobody has really put them together in a formula for the conditions that are affecting the modern consumer, like dry eye, eye strain, and blue light. You see a lot of these people wearing these blue light blocking glasses. Those have been shown in studies to be no different than a pair of clear, plain lenses. But we found and discovered certain nutrients, which we can talk about more, that are actually natural blue light filters and naturally help with eye moisture.
Interesting. So give us the timelines. When did this kind of process start where you were starting to do this research, and then walk us up to today? Kind of what have you done, you know, in that time frame?
Yeah, so that was kind of April of 2019 when I started to have those ideas percolate and start to do a lot of research. I spent several months just pouring through the literature, as most doctors like to do. And then towards the end of 2019, I started looking at contract manufacturers and fulfillment and really trying to put the business together. We launched in January 2020. Initial sales were slow, but then as soon as the pandemic hit, we like 10x'd our revenue.
Wow.
Because everyone was just sitting at home, I guess, buying stuff off of Facebook and having a lot of eye strain. So, for better or for worse, you know, the pandemic definitely helped us to accelerate. So fast forward to today, we do between $50,000 to $80,000 of revenue a month. We're looking to grow even further, just refine our marketing and our products.
That's awesome. And that's incredible. Kind of in a short window, you've done a lot. Talk about how people found you kind of out of the gate. Were you present on social media? I mean, what's been the word of mouth or the process?
Yeah, the initial process was really Facebook ads. And I think Facebook is a platform that allows direct-to-consumer companies to be built much faster because they just give you access to those consumers and a ton of data as well. So all of our initial customers came off of Facebook ads. I learned Facebook ads myself. I run the whole, the back end, worked on the copy, the creative. There's a lot of elements that go into it. But I found that as the founder and the physician, I was the one who knew how to speak to the customer the best. I had some agencies come in and try, and they couldn't do it because they just didn't know how to use the right language. But of course, like, I've seen tens of thousands of patients with this problem, so I know exactly what their pain points are.
Yep.
So that was helpful.
That's cool. It's funny. A lot of, I think, successful physician entrepreneurs kind of take that approach where, you know, I think it also speaks a little bit to you're probably, you know, intellectually curious, just learning some of these technical tools has got, you know, there's an element of fun, even though you're busy and you have other things to do, but it gives you a sense, the ability, like you said, to have direct impact. So other than Facebook, and that makes complete sense, if you had success and or tested, you know, Instagram, LinkedIn, and some of the other social media, or is it really Facebook's been the primary winner?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say Facebook's been the primary. However, it's expensive to acquire customers on there, especially in, more recently with all the changes. Instagram is linked with Facebook, so that's kind of included. But Google AdWords, obviously, is kind of the next big one, especially when people are searching with kind of what they call buyer's intent. Those can do well. Amazon has actually done very well for us as well.
So as that's ramping up, as you said, there's a lot of room to go and you know, taking a direct-to-consumer route. Is there a B2B route as well, or are you really going to continue to stay focused on the direct-to-consumer exclusively?
Yeah, absolutely. No, definitely a B2B route. So I think direct-to-consumer is a great place to start because it really helps you to hone in on your messaging and your audience. The next big channel for us is going to be actually through eye care providers. We want this to be a product that, you know, patient comes to the eye doctor, they're complaining, they're looking for a better solution, and the eye doctor can say, hey, try this one. And if it works, it makes the eye doctor look like a superstar. It helps the patient, it helps us. So we really want to be one of the standard treatments for dry eye. And we have different models to incentivize the doctors, like an affiliate model. That's the good thing about being over the counter is we don't want to kick back laws and things right. like that. And then really we want to be everywhere, retail, Whole Foods, you know, CVS, anywhere that that people might be looking for something like this.
That's great. And are you using the same brand for the direct to consumer as well as the direct to physician pathway?
Yep. Same brand. We make a few tweaks on the website, but essentially the same brand.
So how has that process started out, or what's the plans over the next 12 months to start to cultivate the relationships with the eye practice?
So number one, we're always trying to hone in on our messaging and our labeling and how we present the brand to consumers, because I think that's going to also translate to patients as well. But it's really leveraging my network of eye care providers and my relationships in the field. It's a small world, as you know, in medicine. And I think that's going to be our competitive advantage. So I'm first getting a couple of eye doctors to be kind of like the first people that are in it, the first fans, and then eventually have them be spokespeople for the company and tell their other eye doctor friends, and pretty much grow it organically. We may do some advertising to eye care providers, but I think once they see the benefit that their patients get, it's going to be much easier.
And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the annual meeting for the society, and the society is headquartered in San Francisco. And I think their annual meeting might also be out there this year. Is that right? I think it's in the fall in the Bay Area, maybe.
Yes, in the fall. They move it around, and sometimes it's in Chicago, San Francisco, or New Orleans. But definitely that's a great place as well.
So talked a little bit about the efficacy. So it's been out there now for a while. You've had people using the product. I mean, what kind of feedback have you had? Nothing's probably 100%, but what are you seeing?
Nothing's 100%, but I'm just seeing incredible reviews and testimonials from our customers. People saying that they've tried everything under the sun, all these lubricating drops, all these prescription eye drops, other types of supplements, and this is the only thing that's worked for them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great feeling as a physician to bring a product to market like that. It also makes me really want to do a clinical study to validate that. So that's on our horizon as well.
Let's talk about the next year. You know, kind of where are you at? What are your, you know, two or three goals that you're focused on?
Yeah, for next year, really to basically to scale. So we've kind of built, we've launched, and we've gotten some early traction, but we really want to scale. into the millions every year. So I think what that's going to take is really honing in on our messaging on the direct-to-consumer side, building out the network of eye care providers, and then potentially maybe in the next year, towards the end of next year, getting into some retail channels.
Is there a need or an interest in raising capital for the company, or is it fairly self-sufficient, or how do you think about that?
No, definitely to hit those milestones, there's a need and an interest in raising capital for the company. So I have personally bootstrapped the company to date and acted as pretty much like the pre-seed investor. But it's definitely time to bring in some outside capital, because scaling a direct-to-consumer brand, just it takes capital these days. Used to be on Facebook, you could get customers for a couple bucks and then do it yourself. Times have changed, but we really believe that this is a unique product that needs to be out there. So I think there's a lot of potential.
What's the end game, to the extent that you've thought about that at this point? Is it building this up and selling it at some point to a larger player that can take that distribution? Is it, running it forever? How do you think about that personally?
Yeah, definitely the former. I think the plan always here is, I think we are a natural acquisition target for several types of companies. So I think it's to build this, get customers, delight our customers, really build a brand that customers love, scale it as much as we can. But I do realize at some point, we're going to need to bring in the expertise of a larger company. And that at that time, I think acquisition would make sense.
So when you think about the AngelMD network, which is a diversified network, it's centered around clinicians. And so we've got a huge network of clinicians. We've got a lot of investors, and those investors, there's a whole range. There's individual angels, venture firms, family offices, and others. How can folks that might be watching, listening to this discussion, lean in? Like, what are the types of folks that you'd want to talk to that could really be helpful to the company?
I think there's two types of folks. One is obviously any eye care providers. I think we'll know exactly what I'm talking about here and probably resonates with them. And, I don't need to preach to the choir, but definitely we want to build out our network of eye care providers. So if there are any ophthalmologists or optometrists listening, we'd love to have them on board. I think physicians in general can add a lot to the company, either through their clinical expertise, if it's like a related field like rheumatology. And then finally, I know a lot of physicians like myself are angel investors themselves. And I think there's no better angel investor than a physician for this type of product, because they're immediately going to understand a lot of the things that I have to spend hours explaining to VCs and outside investors. I don't have to do that with physicians, they'll get it. So that's another type of person that could be a huge help.
So tell us a little bit about where folks can learn more about you, and we'll put information in the show notes around your social media channels, but what are the primary places where the company and you, or you can be found?
Yeah, I think number one is our website, itamins.co. And we have a lot of information about the company, even about myself on there. Other probably best place to find me is on LinkedIn. Always happy to connect personally. It's Kaushal Kulkarni, MD.
It's a great URL, by the way. Pretty lucky to grab that one.
Yeah. I was surprised we got the trademark on that. So
nice.
I think that's a big selling point for the company.
That's awesome.
Process. And I get a lot of people that are looking to start a business that aren't exactly sure what they want to do, especially physicians. It's hard. I honestly Googled 90% of what I know. And that's how I found the contract manufacturers, embedded them. And of course, there was a whole process after that. But the nutraceutical space is a fairly simple business to set up. And that's why you'll see a lot of people that have gone on to do other things, like Tim Ferriss and other people, actually started out in nutraceuticals. So it takes some research on the front end, but it's all doable.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise, but he was a race car driver, and they're like, wow, where'd you learn to drive? He said, watching ESPN.
Right.
I think YouTube is the modern equivalent of that. Like, if you need to figure something out, go to Google or YouTube.
I think, most founders or entrepreneurs would agree that that's how they feel most of the time.
I love it. Is there anything else as you're thinking about the business that you like to share either lessons you've learned perhaps, or just something, some aspect of the business that's unique that maybe we haven't touched on?
I would say two things. I think the biggest thing I've learned through this business and in general is only take advice from someone if you would switch places from them in that role that they're giving you advice in. For example, I'll take financial advice from Warren Buffett all day. I don't know if I would take like diet and exercise advice from him. That's how I usually think about it. And then I think on the business side, I think our mission is really to get people to think about their eye health. Whether or not they buy or use our products is kind of secondary, but I think we really want to own this conversation about how important your eye health is, how important your vision is. One of the big motivating things for me in starting the business is just seeing patients every single day when they come to me and it's just too late. They've already gone blind. They've already had the degeneration. And I think as a company, but also as a society as a whole, as a medical community, we really need to put more emphasis on prevention. We all know that. And that is one of the big missions behind Itamins.
You know, I also get the sense, somebody who can sort of, quote Tim Ferriss as an example is somebody that I suspect you're probably a constant learner and looking at people that are pushing the envelope in different disciplines. I mean, I'm curious about your personal kind of regimen. What types of things do you read and do you do to, learn all of these new areas and just sort of your other intellectual curiosities? What's your kind of MO?
Yeah. As you can probably tell, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't own a TV. You won't see one anywhere here in my space. Haven't owned a TV in
years. With that view, nobody needs a TV.
Right. But I'm constantly reading blogs. I read TechCrunch. That's one of my main newsletters. I like How I Built This as a podcast. I like Tim Ferriss. I like Sam Harris's podcast as well. I'm a huge fan of Mind Valley, which is kind of like a meditation community by Vishen Lakhiani. I've read all the major books, like Principles by Ray Dalio. Millionaire Fastlane is a book I recommend to a lot of physicians. Basically reading and podcasts.
I love it. You're a person after my own heart. I will leave you an open invitation. Anytime you've got some news or anything you want to share, I'd love to have you back on the program anytime. We could dive into all kinds of, nuances and segues. And I think as you're building this business, I think you're also going to have a testimony for not only other entrepreneurs, but even physician entrepreneurs specifically, just, the lessons you're learning. You're going through a pretty cool process and getting a street level MBA. Well, thanks again for spending some time on a Friday afternoon. Love the story. I'm glad we got a chance to talk. It's always fun when I do interviews like this and the company's even better than I thought it was going to be. And more importantly, the entrepreneur behind it. So really nice to meet you and look forward to keeping in touch.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Tobin. This was awesome.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.